Thank you. I've formatted my notes differently this morning, so let's hope that it goes smoothly. How's everybody feeling with 10 a.m.? Yes? Oh, that wasn't very a positive response. Don't worry, it's a short message, so you'll be at the same time as if we started at 9:30. Awesome. Why don't we open up in prayer? Just before I do, I got the scripture just came over my heart while we were worshiping. Where was I? It says, "Behold, the glory of God of Israel was coming from the east, and the sound of his coming was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory." He goes on to say, "Son of man, this is the place of the throne and the place of the sole of my feet, where I dwell in the midst of the people forever." Amen. That's how we know that God's here. He's in this place. Amen. His word declares that he is present. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Are you excited about the fruit of the Spirit? Yes? You don't sound excited about the fruit of the Spirit. Awesome. Don't worry, today we're talking about joy. So by the time this is done, you will be excited. Amen. Awesome. I'm very loud. I don't know, am I loud? It sounds loud from up here. Awesome. Why don't we pray? I'm going to open up in prayer and then we'll jump in. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that you are such an awesome and such an amazing God. We thank you that your scripture says that all we have to do is ask and you will be a loyal, faithful, loving Father, Lord Father, and give what we ask. We pray, Lord, that as we come to the house to worship and to hear from you, Lord, we just pray that the message that is delivered and the message that is brought is a message that is in season for each and every person, that they may grab the gem that is relevant to their season right now, and that will be planted in their hearts. I pray, Lord, as I speak, I pray and I declare, Lord, that the words, and I ask that the words that comes forth is all of you in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people says, amen, amen, amen. So today we are continuing on our, joy series, on our Fruit of the Spirit series. Amen. And we're gonna talk a little bit about joy. Yeah? Anyone know anything about joy? No? That's good. That means there's a lot to learn. Amen. Joy is an interesting one. It's the word joy appears quite a lot of times in the Bible more than anything. Well, I don't say more than anything else, but over, if you take all the different variations of the word joy, like joy, joyful, joyous, which is all comes from the same meaning, it appears almost 430 times in the Bible. Now, when something appears so many times in the Bible, it's usually because it's something significant. Amen. And so we have the privilege of being blessed with joy. Yeah? Yes? You can agree, amen. Everything that I say, if you say amen, that's like you claiming that. So we want to make sure that we claim all that we can, amen. The word appears quite a bit of times in the Bible, and just before I start speaking on joy, I just want to share something about the fruit of the Spirit. The word is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit, yeah? Even though we talk about many, many fruits, we talk about joy, love, long-suffering, peace, patience, it's actually the fruit of the Spirit. When I was younger, and when I say younger, I mean young in the faith, I used to think of the fruit of the Spirit as like a mandarin that has many segments, and each segment was a different part of joy. But as I matured in my faith, I started to realize that the fruit of the Spirit is actually exactly like a mandarin, but not in the way that I perceived it to be. It wasn't that there were many segments and each segment is something significant. It's almost like a lemon. It still has segments, right? But joy, peace, love are not each segment. They are part of the bigger picture. They are the skin of the lemon. It is that white perma that's on the outside of the lemon. It is the sweetness or the sourness of the lemon. It is the medical properties that the lemon has. You know, a lemon can make you well when you are unsick. Who knows, if you got a flu, lemon is the way to go. Unfortunately, you're not going to know that until you get sick and try it. So there's some aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that will be more recognizable when you're going through certain seasons. Amen? Just like long suffering, right? You're only going to really know you got that when you're going through a really, really difficult journey. And so that is what the fruit of the Spirit is like. But what I want to encourage you is that whatever way you choose to understand the concept in the season that you are at, that's good for where you're at. Amen? But don't be so stringent in what you learn that you don't allow yourself to grow in your theology. Amen? You've got to move from a mandarin with many segments to the actual fruit as a whole, because every part of that fruit has a purpose. The skin of the lemon is important. It protects the lemon it's going. You know, the different properties, it's not just for health. You can enjoy a lemon. You can make some lemonade, and it's great. The perma that we sometimes peel off has a property that we don't understand, but the property exists because God placed it there. Amen? And so like the fruits of the Spirit, we're going to be talking about all these different things, but they are all one fruit. Yeah? And as you go on your Christian walk, the importance of these different aspects of this fruit will start to become more clearer to you. Amen? Some of it is easier to understand. Love. You say love is the skin. It's easy to understand because it's there all the time. But there are some that are less easy to understand. That you're only going to realize that the, for example, does anybody bake? Yeah. You know, the peel actually has flavor. And if you grate that up and put it in your cake, it really brings it alive much more than the actual juices can. Yeah? And so as you walk in your faith and as you learn more, you'll start to unpack these different elements of the fruits of the Spirit and grow more. Amen? Pastor Jay preached last week about love. And he spoke about how over time we've kind of watered down our definition and understanding of love, because we've taken all these different forms of love and wrapped it in one kind of word and then used it several times. So the true meaning of the word love has kind of been eroded over time. In essence, joy is very similar but for a different reason. Not because we've taken all these different aspects of joy and put it together and now we don't quite understand joy, but because a big part of joy is intangible. It's not something that we can see or measure. It's something that we need to study and understand, right? So the part of joy that we are familiar with is the external expression of joy. Yep. We all know when someone is joyful, we can see the laughter on their face. They are happy. They're smiling. They're singing. They're laughing. They're dancing. That's the external expression of it, right? But it looks very, very similar to happiness. In fact, it's almost the same. The external expression of happiness and the external expression of joy is close to exactly the same, right? The difference is where the source of that expression comes from. Yeah? So in the Bible, the word joy is pronounced, well, not pronounced, but it's written in the Hebrew, not the Hebrew, in the Greek, as chara, C-H-A-R-A, right? It's a Greek word. It describes a feeling of inner gladness, delight, or rejoice. Inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure, its depth of assurance and confidence that ignites a cheerful heart. I love that. That sounds so cool. I don't know, maybe it's just the way it's written. It's so elegantly stated. I'll read it again. It's an inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure. It's a depth of assurance and confidence that ignites a cheerful heart. It is a cheerful heart that leads to cheerful behavior, independent of what is happening around us. So that's an internal spark, an internal cause. It's coming from something on the inside, deep-rooted within. Happiness, on the other hand, is a state of emotion or well-being that a person experiences either in a narrow sense, so it's very narrow, very superficial, you can fake it. When good things happen in a specific moment, or more broadly as a positive evaluation of one's own life and accomplishments overall. So you see the difference there. Happiness is an external source. So when something on the outside happens that causes you to be happy and giggly and laughing and all of that joyfulness, then you're experiencing happiness. Right? Happiness is very dependent on what is going on around you. That's why it's called happiness, right? That's what's happening. Your happiness is determined on what's happening I don't know if that's why the word is called happiness, but it sounds good, yeah? Right? So whether it is a specific moment or whether it is overall your evaluation of what you are doing and your evaluation of your life, it's still an external cause. Yeah? Joy, on the other hand, is not external. It's based on what's happening on the inside. And this is important because if you're going to live your life simply based off what is happening around you, you're going to have a dimensionless time. Because not everything that happens around us is always going to be happy and good and perfect and nice. Yeah, if you figured out how to do that, come and speak to me afterwards. Right? The world around us, the way God created the world, is He created it with seasons. And so whether you want to talk about our life or whether you want to talk about life in general, everything has a time and a place under the sun. Ecclesiastes tells us that. There's going to be winter, there's going to be springtime, there's going to be harvest. So things are not going to go the way you want them to go all the time. And there's going to be moments where you're going to go through sorrow. You're going to go through sadness. Things are not going to go right. You're going to put your heart and soul into something and it's not going to succeed. And if your life or your walk is based on happiness, you're going to be pulled to and fro based on the world. The world is going to control your joy. When the world is good, you're good. When the world is not, you're not. And that's not how we as Christians should be living. Amen? Our joy is separate from that so that we can endure through the challenges without it affecting us. Now, let's be clear. I'm not saying that you're not going to go through sorrows, because again, there is a season for all of that. But the way you endure that will be different, because your joy will come from Christ, or it should come from Christ. Amen? We should not allow the world to dictate how we live, ever. As Christians, we're called to be outside of the world. God gives us that ability by allowing us to anchor our hope in Christ Jesus, to anchor our hope in salvation. Joy can be found in adversity because joy is from the Spirit of God. Not joy is in diversity. You can find joy in diversity because joy is in you. So if you walk into a situation where you're going through struggles, you're going through whatever struggles you're going through, you can experience joy in those situations. I think of people that I know that is going through their own struggles, and you know, despite what they're going through, they just know how to praise God. And I think to myself, it's such a tough time, but all you hear is the praise of God that comes out of their mouths. That is the evidence of joy. You see, joy allows us to do something that few of the other fruits do, but again, they work to kind of together. It allows us to endure and enter into trials. Because some trials are unavoidable, you have to go through them. If you want to grow certain fruits, like, and I use long-suffering a lot because it's the easiest one to understand. If you want to develop the fruit of long-suffering, you better be prepared to walk through a struggle. Yeah? Joy gives us that hope and assurance that we can enter into that struggle because we know we are coming out of it, because we know God is with us in it. We know that greater is He that liveth in me than he that's in this world. The joy of the Lord gives us the strength to enter into those endurances and allows us to hold true to it to develop all those other fruits. Joy allows us to face trials and tribulations. It gives us the ability to put what is going on around us into perspective. We can endure because we know that God is good. We know that in the Bible talks a lot about Christians being in a position to face persecution. Why can we endure that? Because we know who our hope is in. Our hope is in the Lord. Why do we put aside certain things? Why do we strive to live the way God has called us? Because he's called us to a higher purpose and a higher glory. Grace helps us see that. Hebrews 12 verses 1 to 2, I'm just going to read verse 2, says this. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfection of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set out before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set out before him, he endured the cross. Amen? Because he knew what is coming. He had that perspective. He understood, I need to endure this because salvation is at hand. Not his salvation, but our salvation. For the joy of our salvation, he could endure the cross. For the joy of being seated at the right-hand side of God, he knew that I need to go through this to get to the other side of where it needs to be. That is the power of joy in our lives. That when we go through tribulations and times, or when we see it coming, we know that God's in control. When we see the storm, we don't lose our heads because we know that despite the storm, God's still in control. God's still driving. He's still got it. Yes, the storm is going to come, but we know we're going to come out on the other side because our time is not yet finished. We still got work to do. And even if our time is finished, we know where we're going. Joy as a fruit is a choice that we need to make. We've all got it. If you've given your heart to the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit within inside of you. You have the fruit of hope there. But there are times in your walk where you need to actively say, okay, I know that God's in control. I'm not going to let this shake me. There are times when we're not going to do that. There are times when we need to mourn, like when we lose loved ones. But the morning is a bit different when we know where we go, where they're going. Grace allows us to live the way God intended us to live on this earth. And that is not to be moved left and right by circumstances, not to walk in sorrow, but to walk in joy. Joy helps us hold our sorrow. It helps us scaffold it. So we can go through struggles and we can go through pain and we can go through tribulations. Joy doesn't get rid of those things. No, don't get me wrong. We have to walk through those experiences. We have to come out on the other side. Joy just helps us do it. It holds our sorrow. It holds our pain. It guides our feet. It reassures us when we need to be reassured. Luke 10 verse 20 says this, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subjected to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Yeah, it's not a very, people are like, oh, that's a bit morbid. But that's the truth. Amen. Psalms 13 verse 5 says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. It is our salvation in Christ Jesus that gives us that strength. Because at that moment of salvation, there were many, many things that happened. Amen? We were blessed with the Holy Spirit. We received, our names were written in the book of the Lamb. We received the fruits of the Spirit, all of it. we can rest assured that our salvation is secured. We can journey through the situations and the circumstances, and we can rest assured that God is in control, because our joy is in Him, not in what we are going through, not in what we're experiencing, not in any of those things. It is in Him. If you break down the word joy, you know that the word joy comes from, as a root cause to the word grace. Yeah? Which means grace is given by God. In fact, it's not in my notes, but I'll share it with you because I love you so much. Joy is one of the gifts that is not just experienced by us, but it's experienced by... it's experienced in the heavenly realms. Because the Bible talks about God being joyous. The Bible talks about the angels being joyful every time someone gives their heart to the Lord. Yeah? There's a party happening in heaven when salvation has occurred. And so joy, while it's here, it's also there. There's a lot of things, and I'm not going to get into the theology, but like what happens in heaven and what happens down here. But there's a lot of things that is unique to this world. There's a lot of things that's unique to us. Like, we are fortunate enough to have the love of Christ. He died for our salvation. Angels don't need that. But there's some things that we share, and joy is one of those things. Amen? So you can rest assured that when we join in the heavenly realms, joy will be an important part of that experience that we have, singing and praising and giving glory to God. And so joy is something that's essential to us being able to walk out and being able to be a Christian the way God intended us to be. You know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked and talked. They were constantly with God. They were joyful. So should you be. Amen? Because we do the same. Amen? Not the same way, but we do the same. We walk and talk with God. The veil has been torn. We have that privilege. In fact, we've got something better. We have what's inside here, the Holy Spirit. Amen? We get our joy from being connected and spending time in God, just like all the other fruits. The fruits are not magic. They don't pop off on a tree. We don't just pray for them and ask for them and get them. The Bible says, yes, seek, ask, and you shall receive. But we need to do the work. We need to be in His presence, be in His word, praying on a regular basis, being connected to the vine. A branch only produces fruit if it's connected to the vine. And the same applies for all of the fruits of the Spirit, including joy. Psalm 16 verse 1 says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Amen. It's not that joy doesn't exist and you don't have joy. I interpret this as we all have joy within inside of us. But it's easier to connect with that joy when we have that relationship with God. The closer we are to God, the easier it is for us to be able to recognize or to understand or to pull on the joy that is within us. It's all in you. If you've given your heart to the Lord and you've asked the Holy Spirit to come and live in you, you have joy in your life to overcome any situation. If you're struggling to figure out why things are maybe not going as smoothly, you got to get closer to God, because the closer you get to God, the easier it will be us to recognize the joy and to recognize the different aspects of Him. Amen? I also like the fruit of joy. It's a little different because the Bible actually, in many scriptures, tells us to activate joy, which I thought was kind of, you know, weird, but all of the fruits need to be activated, so it's not that weird at all, you know? But he does. He says, be joyful in hope. Let us rejoice. Go, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so when we're going through situations and circumstances, we actually have to make a decision to use joy. We have to say, despite what I'm going through, I know that God's in control. You know, I can do this. I can overcome this because He's with me and He will not leave me nor forsake me. When we feel forsaken, which sometimes we do when we're going through tribulations and circumstances, when we feel as if we can't recognize God, we've got to remind ourselves of the scriptures that says He will never leave us nor forsake us. Because whether we like it or not, I wrote down in my notes that the world can sometimes steal your joy. But after thinking about it, and after God's like having a word with me, He said like, no, that's not right. They can't take your joy, but they can mask it. They can convince you not to use it. You still got it. When you go through troubled times, you don't lose the Holy Spirit. Your joy doesn't go. It's not gone. It's still there. But sometimes the situation is so overbearing that you forget or you choose not to activate the joy. So I think of it as the world can sometimes mask your joy. It's deception. The Bible says the enemy comes to steal, deceive, and destroy. When you're going through troubled times, he's deceiving you. And he does it to all of us, because we all go through times where we sometimes lose sight of the joy in our life. And it's deception. He's making you think that the situation you're going through is so troubling, is so terminus, it's so hard that not even God can help. That's a deception. And he's good at that. He's had eternity to kind of figure out how to do that to us. But the only way to pull down the lies and the deceptions is with truth. And the truth lives. This should be a Bible. Imagine this is a Bible in the air. The truth is in the Word of God. Amen. And we shouldn't wait until we're in a difficult situation to pick up the Word of God to equip us. We've got to make ourselves familiar to the voice of God before we go through troubled times and circumstances. We can do it in the middle. That's fine as well. There's no right or wrong way to walk this walk of faith. Yeah? I just feel like it's easier if we're facing a situation, we know that God's got our back. Amen? It's easier to know that if we're going through a situation and things are going astray around us, that the joy that inside of us is bigger than everything that's going on around. So when things do fall down, we can just remind ourselves, like, you know what? God is good. And even if you have to say it 10 times, say it as much as you need to say it before you, until you believe it. They used to have to say, fake it till you make it. I don't like it because I don't think we should fake it. I don't think it's faking. I think it's growing. Yeah? It's just like a plant. If you water it once and it doesn't grow, you don't stop watering it. You keep watering it until you see fruit, until you see something pop out of the ground. And that's the same with our walk with God. If we're going through a situation and we know that we should have joy and we're just not quite sure what's going on, and we remind ourselves that greater is He that liveth in me than he that's in the world. That is the water that's watering your faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the watering coming in. And if it's not producing anything, just keep watering. Find another scripture. And eventually, your faith will arise. And you will realize that in this situation, you're not moved as much as before. The situation may still be the same, but God's got you. And when that revelation starts to happen, the lies of the enemy starts to crumble. Amen? And that's the difference between living what I call the way God intended us to live. To be good stewards of His Holy Spirit. Amen? So that when things happen, we can respond, I don't want to say the Christian way, but in the God way. It's the same with love. It's the same with long-suffering. The fruits are there so that we can live a triumphant life. We can live a Christ-filled life. That when we see people that we don't like, we can love them regardless, because that's a testament. That's something going on there. That when we go through times and troubles and things happen around us, people will look at us and go, what's different about them? How can they go through the struggle and still be victorious? Because it's not about us, it's about God. We can be victorious because the battle is won. The battle's already won, so why are we fighting? It's the same with long-suffering. It's the same with peace, with hope, with joy, with everything. We have the fruits of the Spirit so that we can live the way God intended us to live. And that is Spirit-filled lives. We have the fruit of the Spirit so that we can be testaments of Christ. Because that's what we are. Each and every one of us are a testament. We have a story to tell that reflects the glory of God. To me, that's what a testament is. We've got the Old and the New Testament because they're stories that reflect the nature and the character of God. Your life as a saved, born-again Christian reflects the nature of God. Because you are here because He lived and died for you. Amen? And so when we are walking in the fruits of the Spirit, when we're walking with God and walking with the Holy Spirit, and we develop these fruits in the Spirit, that testimony grows because we become someone who can show love to those that previously we may never have thought we could love. Why? Not because we're awesome, but because God loved them so much that He gave His life for them. And that means if He can give His life for them, we should love them too. Amen? It means that if we're going through a troubled situation and storm, and we should be mourning and we should be struggling, we have joy and we have hope. Not because of I'm awesome and I can endure all things, but because Christ has already endured it for us. If you're going through a situation in your life right now, whether it is a healing, whether it is just life in general, I want to reassure you that the Holy Spirit that lives in you is equipping you to overcome every obstacle that is placed in your path. Every obstacle, not just some. Not just the ones that you can't do by yourself. All of it. And He's equipping you to do it with joy. He's equipping us to be joyful in every season and every situation. And I'm sure we all know people that we've seen joy manifest from. And you wonder why. How can they do this? How can they, you know, they've got maybe on the loss, but they're still giving. They may be in pain, but they're still laughing. They're still singing the glory of God. Because that is what the Holy Spirit does to us. That is what the fruit of the Spirit does to us. That's what joy does to us. It means that in the face of adversity, we make room for the Holy Spirit to equip us to endure and walk a life that is not pulled left, right, and center by the ways of the world, but one that is joyful. And again, I'd say joyful doesn't mean lack of pain, lack of suffering, lack of anything. Joyful just means that our hope is in Him. And that despite what happens on this earth, we know who's in control. We know where we are going. We endure the race for what's at the end. Amen? That joy is in all of you. In all of us. Because the Holy Spirit resides in all of us. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're like, I don't have the Holy Spirit because I don't know what you're talking about. This is going over my head. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit and all these fruits that we are talking about is available to anyone who wishes. It's simply a matter of receiving Him and receiving Christ into your life. Amen. That's really all it is. Because when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. And he equips us and enables us to be the victors that he has already called us to be. Whether that's healing, whether that's just life, it's all there at the cross. It's all finished at the cross. I was going to say it starts. It starts in the Garden of Eden. It finishes at the cross. And that's available to whoever wishes to receive it. So if you are going through something this morning, I feel we should do an altar this morning. Amen. Because the joy of the Holy Spirit is within you. But sometimes we just need some encouraging and reminding. So I think it would be good if we partnered with one another this morning and just pray with one another. Amen. And so if you're standing or you're sitting here, and we can just have every eye closed. And we just want to allow the Holy Spirit to just move and manifest and just touch. But if you're in this place this morning and you're going through a tough time and you don't know the Lord and you don't know really what we're talking about, but you know it sounds like you need this. You need this joy. You need this Jesus. I want to say that it's there for you. And if that is you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to just raise your hand and then we'll lead you through a prayer and welcome Christ into your heart.